views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA, and today is January the 5th, 2016. It is a Tuesday, and I want to just thank you all for participating and listening to Black Talk Radio Network and holding on for Tando Radio Show, because you are the reason why both of the organizations and the program is here, is for you. So with that being said, let's get into today's show. But before we get into today's show, as always, let's take care of the necessary business that's at hand. Everyone, continue to please support Black Talk Radio Network by telling your friends, family, and associates about the network so that the network can continue to grow. And all of the programs that Black Talk Network brings you can grow as equally as well, because it is so important that we strategize and we agendize our own direction, because without that being done, you are led on a leash by someone else. The key to selling out is when you compromise your morality for someone else's agenda. No longer do we need to sell out. Selling out. And that is so, so important. We need to take care of our own. And this is where we do. We bring you news, information, and ideas and resources for you to utilize for the benefit of yourself, your family, and our overall community and culture at large. So please continue to support this network monetarily, time-wise, and at least, you know, tell other people about it, spread the word about it, and assist in this overall growth, because there are so many things that have been lost because of our lack of participation, not by the overall organizations that were sincere in nature, because, believe me, they will be under attack once they go against the system, but because the people did not uphold the skeleton that was established through the structure of the organization. If the heart fails, the liver fails, what good is the overall skeleton or the structure of that organization if the vital organs decide no longer to participate? And this is why it's so important for us and you to further the growth of Black Talk Radio Network. Also, go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook. But pretty soon, I just want to say to my man Scotty, I'm going to learn how to set the postings all correctly, and I'm going to be posting more into Black Talk Radio Network instead of in Facebook. I think it's just a better avenue and a better place to do it. So I'm in the process of doing that, and I will spend some time with it. Just right now, it's just so many things with the move that I'm juggling right now. So I will start posting inside of Black Talk Radio Network a whole lot more instead of primarily just in Facebook. We'll be moving from there. But you can go to Facebook as while we're still there.
Brother Dave.
H-A-N-D. Hey, what's up, Scotty?
Hey, greetings to you, bro. If you need some help, just let me know, man. I can give you one-on-one help. You know, Facebook is convenient, and there's a lot of people on Facebook, but I agree with you. you know, it would be better for us to publish it on our platform, yeah, and then share it to those other networks. You know what I'm saying? And so anytime,
right,
man,
right,
you have some free time and I have some free time, you know, I got the screen share stuff and we could work to, you know, get you up to speed on it. Also, I was having some issues earlier with the broadcaster soundboard. I did upload that video that you wanted to share, the audio to that video. It will work. If
okay,
it, when you go to press it to play, if it don't work, it might say an error message. I think it's because the file's kind of large. Just give it a second and play it again. And it's the one in there to say the
okay,
Black Olmec.
Yep. Okay, cool. Thank you so much, Scotty. And I just want to say the videos that you posted were great and they're easy to follow along. And I didn't realize that we could do so much, and I'm really looking forward to it so that you can be freed up. But not only that, we all need to do our part. And yeah, I totally agree. I'm going to really move away from primarily using Facebook. And I'm going to learn this system, and this is going to be the primary position for Kando Radio Show. And it's just a great move, and I love it. I was really surprised. I just didn't have the time. But don't worry about it, Scotty. We'll get it all together, and I really do appreciate and thank you, brother, for everything that you're doing and which you continue to commit to in the future. So, yes, everyone. So we posted some things inside of Kando Radio Show on Facebook. And let's get into some of those articles really quickly before we get into today's show. And today's show is a very, very important one to me and to you, as you will see in the coming as it all starts to reveal itself. But let's get into this before we get into today's show. Okay, first thing that I posted this morning was that came from, it was a YouTube by a gentleman, I can't remember, I think his name was David something, that we posted there. It says, concentration camps by any other name is still a death camp. And it's a pretty good video, and it kind of lays out some of the historical truths that this country has been involved in the concentration camps and what that means. So check out that video that's there, and it's very, very, very important because there are institutions and facilities that are in place as we speak right now. And believe me, they do not build anything, do not build any vehicle or any weapon that they ever form. They do not make them arbitrarily not to use them against you. They actually will use them at the appropriate time. They're just methodical in their approach. So check out that video that's there. Very important one. Next one, China said to intervene in the stock market after $559 billion sell-off. So basically, China is artificially, and it came from Bloomberg, China artificially interjected into the stock market. And it's basically, this is, you know, the market is the stock market. A lot of people think that the stock market is the economy. It's not at all. It's just nothing more than corporate gambling, and it's a tool of manipulation to steal people's wealth, prosperity, and their overall energy of the past and the future. So you need to know what it is and how it works, because it is an organization that is fixed, just like any other casino, if any major casino that is in anywhere in the world. That casino won't be in business if the house loses. The house never loses. So they do the things, and they orchestrate the overall direction of that market and makes you think that you are a full participant and that you're relevant in it all. No, it's not. That's the big trick. So check out that article. Comes from Bloomberg. Really, really important, especially in today's time. Next, another Nevada Sky to shut down its $1.5 billion hedge fund after 15 years. You're starting to see hedge funds starting to close down. This is how the economy starts to speed, collapse starts to speed up, and is going to take shape into the next stages in the future. This is where you're starting to see, just within the past 3 weeks, multiple hedge funds and high yielding funds have closed their doors, given back their cash to the investors, or have just closed all together. This is how it begins initially. And then guess what? All of the people that receive the cash from them giving it back, there's something that they're going to get hit with. It's called a clawback at the appropriate time. So this is the start of it all, and you need to know. So check out that article also. That was also put out by Bloomberg. Next article is really good one. It's a YouTube video, pretty funny one. Doctors will report you to the FBI under the new gun control rule. This is not anything that's new. They've been doing this for a while, and they store this information within your individual's MID report. A lot of people don't even realize that just like you have a credit rating, you actually have a health rating, where they rate you and give you an equivalent credit score based off of your health, and it's known as your medical information, the Medical Information Bureau. There's a file that's kept anytime that you have a contact with a doctor or any professional or sanctioned medical institution within this country and in this world, that your information is shared with them. This is how your insurance rate goes up all the time when you say that you're a smoker or this or that. This is how they give you different rates of insurance. They give you different rates of quality of care and everything else. There's a full history, and they're going to start to use your medical history against you. I would say, as is said in this video, only go to the doctor for what you need. Don't just go to a doctor just to go to a doctor, because everything that's being recorded about you is going to be used against you in the future. So use that in a way that is to your benefit and not to your overall advancement. So just so you know, MIB means the Medical Information Bureau. You need to know about that. We'll have a show about that in the future. A lot of people don't know that you have a score based off of your health. And most of this information that's given is taken about your health is what you surrender or give to, you think, in private. Be careful of your conversations with any individual that does not have your best interest at hand. So check out that video. It's funny, and it is very, very relative, but it's not anything new under any gun control. This has been going on for a very long time within the past, I know personally, has been in effect for over the past 8 years. So nothing new, it's just expanded. So check out that video that was posted. Also, another major this was a good one. This comes from BigWobble.org. It says, World War III weapons of destruction, highly destructive malware used to knock out power. And I would just say this, malware is used to knock out power. They are going to use the technology as a weapon against people in so many forms and so many fashions. Bitcoin is actually one, because it's a cryptocurrency. If you don't hold anything, you don't own it. So they're starting to use malware, and they've been using malware for a while. They actually use malware in Iran through the, it was called the Sputnik virus. They've been using malware for so many things, and it's going to be used in the economic collapse also, because all of a sudden they're going to say that the financial institutions were hit with a hacker or some malware or some virus. They've already tested it out on a large scale within the financial realm, as far as Wall Street and NASDAQ putting those systems down for hours at a time last year. And this is what they do, dry runs before they go live, to make sure everything that they want to happen. They tell you everything if you would just learn how to listen. So, sorry about that, everyone. So check out that article, very telling. And when you read these things, have an open mind to connect the dots to certain things, because this is telling you that malware is a weapon. Think about that. How many of you are completely exposed to malware via the internet? Every person that logs on to it, every person that touches a computer in today's world is subject to the destructive nature of malware and the hackers. So just so you know, another great article is Health Magazine covers climate engineering, heavy metal containing and mass extinction. Real good article that's there by the geoengineeringwatch.org. And I put that because, you know, chemtrails are real. Heavy metals is real. Fukushima is still real. And a lot of people aren't paying a lot of attention to that. And mainstream media never really paid attention to that outside of the tsunami and outside of the earthquake. And then they brief coverage of what was going on at Fukushima. Then all of a sudden they went dark on it. There's a reason why. Because this is a part of the overall agenda. And we're going to talk about that at some time because that's the threat that we're still constantly under. Next one, this comes from the activepost.com. The looming economic disaster in Missouri that nobody is talking about. Check out that article as pertaining to the radiation disaster that is unfolding within the St. Louis area right now as we speak. Next, this one comes from a government report. Plutonium detected recently in California's air supply fallout from Fukushima. Plutonium. Do you know what that means? If you get one particle of plutonium within your lung, you will develop a fatal cancer. It's completely lethal. It's a death sentence. This is the real in-your-face attack against humanity, which is, this thing is going to kill millions of people and it's murder in plain sight. Because what happens is that through radiation poisoning, your immune system is weakened. And this is the attack that's going on. You don't need to talk about they're going to do a depopulation program. It's already started. It has already happened. You don't need to look for the event. It already happened on a major scale in Fukushima. And no one is really talking about or paying attention to it or getting you to do things to prepare and to actually protect yourself as much as you possibly can. Yes, is it still spewing radioactive material? Yes, and it's going to continue. But there are things that you can do to at least lessen the effects of them, and you need to. And we talked about it a couple of times on Tando Radio Show, but we haven't covered it as of recently, but we will cover it as of recently, of how to actually detox your body of these heavy metals, and especially detox your body of the radioactive isotopes as much as you possibly can. So important that we do it. Next, inside of some of the news that's there. Also, this comes from Sputnik News. These 10 conflicts can escalate into a major war. Pretty good article that's there you need to know about. Next one. This one is very, very important. Everyone, please go to Tando Radio Show and read Fisher's Fed at Fault. Not read it, but it's a video that is there, a YouTube video. And I would say the question is, why is he admitting this now and for what reason? And I said, because the fix is in. The former Dallas Fed, the former Dallas president for the Federal Reserve admitted, is basically admitting everything. What the Fed did and what the intentions are. Why are they doing that now? Remember when we talked about in Tando Radio Show earlier on a couple of other shows that there is going to be a Western purge. They are going to start to admit and to divulge the fraudulent activities and the erroneous mistakes that will also lead to, first they will present it as erroneous mistakes, but they will turn out to be fraudulent in nature. This is the advent of the overall Western banking purge that is happening right now. This is the setup. Why is he saying this now, a former Fed president? He's not saying this haphazardly. He's not all of a sudden his come-to-Jesus moment or anything else. He is following this script because he is just like all of the other people that you see in front of the camera. They're nothing more than political, economical, or social celebrities that read the script that their agenda is put out for by the controlling hands and the shadow people that control everything else in the shadow entities. He is just doing what he is told to do. And this is important that you know, because this is a warning. And talking about the overall economic decline, let me tell you why they're doing that. Because these people, they only buy when there's blood on the street. They are going to crash the market and buy when there is blood on the streets. That's a position move. They're using this information against you, totally against you. And they are going to, they tell you everything if you learn their language. They're telling you that the crash is going to come, but they're going to prosper from it, and you're not. You're going to actually be the bearer of the collapse, because they're going to collapse the common man's economy. They're not going to collapse their economy, because it's not based off of the common man's economy. Your economy is not theirs. You don't know. Most of the people within that know economics, have been taught economics, don't even know what the real economy is. The real economy is off of, it's a shell game. It's a three-card molly game. It's a three-card molly game with no ball, and it's a three-card molly game with a big hole at the bottom. It's all a facade to steal from you and to enslave you and to make you think that you're included in the whole system. This is why many of us don't know the difference between currency and money. This is why many of us don't know the difference between debt and prosperity and the benefits and the adverse actions of debt. Most of us think that getting out of debt is paying your mortgage or paying your car off or everything else. That's not even half. That's not even a quarter of what real debt is. Your debt is what you're paid for the labor and the energy that you give up. And it's always unequal in a disparity of treatment. So check out that YouTube video. Very, very important for you to know what's going on. Next one. Puerto Rico has run out of time and money. And without a doubt, this is going to destroy the standards of living here in the United States soon and quietly enough. Sweat now for you, so hopefully you won't bleed later. You need to be making sacrifices for what is coming, and this is a great indication. Next one, and I know Brother Scotty covered this, and I want to hurry up and get to our show. Today with the administration, the celebrity figurehead, just like the celebrity figurehead that's in Venice, in the Vatican, and the celebrity figurehead that's in Washington, D.C., and the celebrity, well, you don't really see the celebrity figurehead that's in the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, nor the City of London, but the two celebrity figureheads that you see all the time. There was one on television today talking about measures of gun control, and what a lot of people don't are missing in this whole thing is this. Is that, you know, but here at Black Talk Radio Network and here at Tando Radio Show, we know what history is. And the thing is that they are trying to legislate by you do what we say, not as we do. Because you think of all of between 60 and 100 million people have been killed, murdered by the administrations of these governments since World War II. This government here, since World War II, 60 to 100 million people. And that would constitute a crime against humanity. That would constitute that they could not have any form of weapons, neither military nor police. But because they still write the laws, they are immune from the laws, but you're not. See, by law, they would not be able to have any form of weapons because of the crimes against humanity that they've waged throughout history. Not just this president in Libya, but all of them were complicit in them all. They were all harborers. They were all contributing factors. They were all cohorts. And they were all a part of the conspirators in this whole thing at different levels. No, they weren't the ones that did everything, but they were the ones that read the script and made themselves available to be seen to you to trick you into believing that you are inclusive in the system. So if they want to say that they want to have background checks to make sure that people of that committed heinous crimes or any crimes, that they don't have weapons, then guess what? There is no government entity within the system that should have any arms at all, because they are all duly complicit by way of the fraudulent crimes that have been waged against humanity throughout history for so long. And we can document that, and they can't deny it. But what they will do is say that they're immune from it all. And only the cowards follow the ways of a bully. Time to walk away. So, everyone, just just want to hurry up and we're getting ready to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we'd love to hear from you. Today's show is going to be a very, very important show, and it's really about our history, and it's about the Almack Foundation, and how I wanted to categorize it was that if you really look at the Almack Foundation that was laid globally, you could actually say that it is the unmapped and uncoursed Africa that is everywhere. Because one of the things, and you know, you've heard it from here on Black Talk Radio Network, they only want to tell you the part of history saying that you were brought here as slaves and only as slaves, but that is nowhere near the truth of it all. And let me tell you something about history. History is not something that you can be taught. History is only something that you can be introduced to by way of a lesson, but history has to be investigated and lived by you. Because if you do not investigate history for the truth, then you won't know the true bounds of it. And if you don't know the true bounds of it, then you're destined to repeat the misdealings of it all. What do they always say? If you don't know history, then you're bound to repeat the mistakes of it. And this is why we don't know the ancient history of our culture, because they want us to continue to make mistakes that will cause us subject to it. History is something that you live culturally through your investigation, and it changed the way that you live your life and the legacy that you live behind. That's what true history is. It's not about sitting in someone's classroom. It's about you actively being participant in that. In today's show, we want to introduce you so that you will start to do your own research into our ancestral, the global impact that our ancestors seeded, and the influence and the great bear of fruit that still is around today that we need to eat from. But more importantly, as you always hear us say here on Tando Radio Show, it's more important to feed the roots instead of just eating the fruit. So we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the today's show, the foundation of the OMAX. If you'd like to get in on the conversation after it's been laid out, give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032 pound and hit star 61. This is going to be brought to you by Brother Booker T. Coleman, historian, great teacher of our history, and great safeguard and guardian of our culture. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show. We're going to go to a commercial break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to jump into today's video. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Peace, everybody. This is Brooklyn Magi. We're here at the Brooklyn Magi Hour. And tonight, we have a very, very, very special guest. You know, the one and only elder, Brother Kaba. You know, some known as Booker T. Coleman, the legend. Brother Kaba.
Hotep to my brother, Brooklyn Magi.
Peace. How's everything, man?
My brother, everything is excellent, but more excellent now that I get a chance to talk to you, brother. Been looking forward to this interview.
Thank you very much. Let's get right into it. The topic, you know, the topic today is, at hand is, you know, the Olmec. You know, I've been getting a lot of, people in my inbox that want to, ask a lot of questions about the Olmec and, the African or Black origin of that culture or whatever. I guess, you know, give us a little bit information about these people called the Olmec.
Well, you know what's interesting, Brother Magi, as we spoke, Mondays I teach a college class at State University at New Paltz.
Okay.
I teach a class on Monday and I teach a class on Tuesday. Monday is Afro-Latino culture, the development of Afro-Latino culture in America.
Wow.
And I had the chance to go to Mexico and study with Dr. Ivan Van Sertima in 1984. Of course, Dr. Van Sertima is the one that wrote the book, They Came Before Columbus.
Right.
Which brought a lot of our attention, our being the African community and community in general, to the role that Africans played in the peopling of America. And the Olmec culture, Olmeca, is the mother civilization of America. In other words, it appears, according to the research, that when the Olmec culture was developed, when Africans came to this part of the world, they brought their technological and cultural skills to the Gulf of Mexico. And it is in the three major cities in the Gulf of Mexico that we today call La Venta, Tres Zapotes, and San Lorenzo. Three major cities that show evidence of an African culture that can be connected to what we call the Egypto-Nubian or the Kemetic Kushite culture that would have come to this part of the world, give or take, 700, 710 BCE, before the Christian era, which would have been the 25th dynasty of ancient Kemet. But what is even more interesting is the fact that Dr. David Imhotep wrote a book, a fervent and dedicated student to Dr. Van Sertima, but in his research of America, he has written a book entitled The First Americans Were Africans. Right, and right. It is in this book that he goes even further back to the fact that the first three migrations of human beings to this part of the world were in fact Africans.
Whoa.
You had the Paleo-American, P-A-L-E-O, American. You had what is called the Clovis Folsom, which was also an African culture. And you had the Algonquin, which was also an African culture coming to this part of the world. Now, when this Algonquin civilization would come to this part of the world in their movement, you are going to have about 3000 BC, you're going to have Asians coming into this part of the world, and they are going to mix with these Algonquin, and they are going to be called the Lenape.
Mm.
And they're going to go from what we call Maine down to about the Carolinas, and they are going to go from east to west also. And they are going to be the indigenous people that are going to be living in this part of the world. However, you also are going to have the Africans that are going to come to this part of the world via Egypt or Kemet. And in the 1300s, you're also going to have West Africans coming to this part of the world during the Malinke Empire.
Mm,
the point that needs to be made.
Is that Mansa Musa in there?
That is going to be Mansa Musa's brother, Mansa, because that's the title, Mansa Abubakari III.
Okay.
And when his brother, Abubakari III, travels to America, Mansa Musa now is going to travel east to Egypt, and that is when it is recorded that he gave out so much gold, he broke the world bank.
Right, I heard that story. Right. Wow.
So you have this Olmec civilization that is going to be a pyramid building civilization. It's going to develop a stratification of a society where here in America, what would be a pharaoh, or what Africans call the Neset Biti. In America, they're going to be called the Tomoan Khan. That is what their leaders were called, Tomoan Khan. Just like when you go into the Caribbean, amongst the Arawak, the leaders were called the Cacique.
Right.
So this is our legacy. This is our history. This is the real American history.
Wow. Well, why do you think people don't know much about it? What is it to hide? Why do you think most of us don't know much about this?
Well, you know, with the advent of Europeans coming to this part of the world, because they knew, you know, the very foundations of what's going to bring Cristobal Colón, or who is called Christopher Columbus, to this part of the world is going to be the knowledge that Africans brought into Europe through the Moors between 710 and 1492 A.D.
Mm.
In fact, as Dr. Van Sertima and Dr. Jan Carew tell us, one of the boats, the Santa Maria, the Pinta, and the Nina, one of the boats was piloted by twin African brothers who are known as the Pinzon brothers.
Mm.
So Europe knew the role that Africans played in history. It was no secret. If you look at the book, The Golden Age of the Moor, edited by Dr. Van Sertima, or the book African Presence in Early Europe, or if you look at the book the African Presence in Europe by Rinoco Rashidi, the pictures are very clear. They know. But they don't put them in the history books, because how can you oppress a people who taught you what you know?
Right, right.
You know, I mean, they're not going to put that in the book. And I don't expect them to. That's why it's our responsibility to do this.
True indeed. I agree.
And that's what I've really dedicated my life to doing, is to developing curriculum where we teach this material to our children and to our community. And we don't depend on anybody to teach our history. Why should they? We should be the ones teaching our history, not them. I don't hold them accountable for that.
True. That. I agree. That. So, like, some people will say, why us brothers that's American care about a South American or a Central American culture, that we don't, some people say we don't even come from there. Why do we even care about that? What would we say when we get that type of response to this type of information?
We do come from there.
Okay.
We do come from there.
Okay.
And as Dr. David Imhotep shows us, that the route that the early Africans came to America was by Africa.
Right.
Not by the East. They crossed over from Africa into the American hemisphere. He has a map in his book showing like 1,330 miles from the west coast of Africa to the east coast of America.
Mm.
So that we should know our history. When you know where you came from, you know where you are. And when you know where you are, you know where you're going.
Exactly.
So we should know this. And our children should know this.
Right.
But it's up to us to do this, my brother Magi. It's up to us to do this.
Right. I agree.
Some of us wait for others to do it. And some of us wait for others to approve us to do this. I wait for nobody. My elders told me I had a right to do this. Dr. Clark told me I had a right to do this. Dr. Ben, Jacob Carruthers, Sharshi McIntyre told me I can do this. Those are the people I sought to validate this history, not someone who does not look like me or who has no interest in me.
Mm.
And I'm not angry. Because if I was them, I would do the same thing. Why am I going to put in your hands the power to stop me from oppressing you?
Right.
It's not up to them. It's up to us, my brother Magi. We must assume responsibility for the education of our children.
Indeed, I agree 100%.
And that's why I enjoy and I appreciate you inviting me to come on this program, because in talking this way, this gives us an opportunity to share this information with our people.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, we were talking about, I think the Olmec. What exactly did the Olmec, contribute to the culture of North Central and South America? What did they contribute to the culture, you know, and stuff like that?
Well, when you look at the geography and when you study wind systems and ocean currents, you see that off of the coast of West Africa, from the north to the south, there are three major ocean currents. And when you see the hurricanes, you'll see every hurricane starts on the west coast of Africa.
Mm.
And they are brought to this part of the world by ocean currents and wind systems. And there are three of them in the Atlantic Ocean. And the middle one, the middle current and wind system, brings whatever is on that current directly into the Gulf of Mexico. And that is why when we have hurricanes, you'll notice that if a hurricane comes off the west coast of Africa and it tilts a little bit more to the right, that is when it's going to hit the coast of Florida and it's going to ride up the coast of Florida.
Mm.
Through the Carolinas, up through New York, and then out into the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
By that same token, boats that are on that current are also going to ride, but for the most part, they're going to go around Florida.
Mm.
Like Katrina did. Katrina went around Florida and into Louisiana, into the Mississippi River.
Right.
Now, in the case of the Olmec, when they came around, their boats landed right in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico in those three cities we spoke about earlier. Tres Zapotes, San Lorenzo, and La Venta. And it is there you're going to see pyramids and stone heads.
Mm.
Now, these stone heads were carved out of a sheer piece of rock. Some of them weigh 25 tons.
Wow.
Now, when we do this, we know that 1 ton equals 2,000 pounds. So if it's 25 tons, we know we're talking about a basalt stone head weighing 50,000 pounds. And one of the real interesting points is that research is still being done to figure out how they carried this rock from the quarry to the various locations in Mesoamerica.
Hmm.
The Olmec civilization is going to find its place in the heartland of the Gulf of Mexico. And it is going to, from the Olmec civilization, it is going to carry this technology west, southwest, northwest. And as it goes down through Mexico and into Central America, into countries we today know as Guatemala, El Salvador, Belize, Nicaragua, Panama, it's going to become who we call the Maya, Maya people. This technology is going to become Maya. As it continues down into South America, into Colombia, into Peru, Bolivia, is going to then fan out into the people we call the Inca. As it moves northwest to the northern part of Mexico, into California, Arizona, it's going to become the Aztec. And then, of course, you have the Mixtec, the Toltec. You have many different nations of people, all, by the way, who are African, too.
Wow. Even the Mayans?
Yes, absolutely. Remember, these individuals are going to be a people that are going to have the gene pool of the Paleo-American, who could be called the Twa people, the Mbuti, or who are derogatorily called the Pygmy. That's the first people that come to America. And I encourage us, because, and also people who are listening, if you want to contact me, I'll send you my study guide, because all of this is right there in the books, and Dr. David Imhotep does a phenomenal job. There's another brother by the name of Nasser M. Ali, who wrote a book entitled The Paleo-American. There's another brother by the name of Umar S. Bey. He wrote a book titled Pyramids in America. And then, of course, Dr. Van Sertima's work, They Came Before Columbus, The African Presence in Early America. This information is out here, my brother Magi. It's there, but they don't put it in the history books.
Right.
But the evidence is there. You know, we all have to stop and think for a moment. When the European came here, Spanish, the Portuguese, the Portuguese in Brazil, but when the Spanish came over here, and then the British came over here, and the French came over here, and the Dutch came over here, when they came upon the indigenous people, they noticed that there was a stark difference in their complexion. So what did they call the indigenous people? They called them the red man. Now, the red that you're talking about is a brown like African American. Many African Americans have this complexion. I have that complexion. You know, my father had the... you have that complexion. Red is brown.
Like kind of like copper, in a sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
And when the Native American looked at these Europeans, they noticed that there was a stark difference in color, and so they called them the pale face.
Yeah, right.
So when these two names are being given to each other, you have to realize that there is a stark difference between the way these two people look. And if you look at the so-called sports team, such as the Chicago Blackhawks, or the Redskins, or the Cleveland Indians, you'll notice that their symbolism is of a very dark complexion person.
True indeed. True indeed.
That could be any brother from Bed-Stuy, or Bronx, or Harlem, or Detroit, or Chicago, or Watts, Compton, California, anywhere. So this information is out here. It's up to us to teach this. It's up to us to be brave enough and courageous enough to teach our people the truth of their history. What really is African American history?
Wow. I totally agree. And it's like, you know, I get a lot of, a lot of people sometimes want to debate me, like, you know, a lot of people from like Spanish backgrounds or whatever that I guess don't know this, they would say that we're trying to steal their culture. What about if you get that type of feedback? What would be a good thing to say to something like that?
You're black. How am I taking your culture? I'm not taking your culture. I'm just showing you how your culture and my culture is the same.
Wow. Good point.
English is no more my language and Spanish is yours. Mm. Mm. In my class, I have many people who took my class who are of Spanish-speaking background. And they tell me themselves how many people in their family are black and how they realize their culture and their history.
Wow.
So, I don't have problems for the most part. Plus, the evidence is so overwhelming. You know, I mean, the evidence can shut down a room. That's why a lot of times, you know, folk don't invite me places because I believe in science, Brother Magi, as you know.
Yeah, definitely.
When you've invited me to speak in Brooklyn, I believe in science. I don't believe in emotion.
Right.
There's no room for emotion in education. Intellectual endeavor demands that you present information of which I call the scientific method, which basically is you have an idea and then you set out to prove it and you come to a conclusion.
True.
And when you study this from a scientific perspective, you come up with scientific concepts, and scientific means knowledge, knowing. Not emotion.
Right.
We have to stay away from emotion.
I agree.
Gets people riled up and all the rest of that, but you don't get your point across because people are so emotionally attached to what you're saying, they don't get a chance to say, you know something? That makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, when I talk about the red man and the pale face.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows that Native Americans were called red man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did red look like? What does red look like? And for most black folk, I tell you, go find a mirror and look into it. That's what red looks like.
Exactly. Wow.
And then read the books.
True. I was reading something the other day, and it was saying how, not to get off the topic of the Olmec, but yeah, but this all ties in, how like the California natives was black too. Do you have any information on that?
Oh, absolutely. The Khalifa.
Oh, yeah.
What California is named after. The Khalifa.
Wow. That sounds like kind of like a Moorish name, like Kali.
Well, that's exactly where the connection linguistically is.
Okay.
And you know, there's a linguistic connection that we all have to study. But you see, you know, Brother Magi, as a people, we have to study.
Right.
You know, we have to set out the time to study. Now, some of us are not willing to do this.
True, indeed. True.
You know, and until we get to the point where we are going to embrace our history, study it so we can present it in an intellectual manner and not come at it from an emotional perspective, then we will continue to be in the position that we find ourselves.
Right.
But these are exciting times, and more people are reaching out to study.
Definitely. Definitely.
More people are interested.
Because somebody had sent it to me, you know, through Facebook, and they had like, you know, showing how like California natives were basically black people. I was like, wow, amazing.
Absolutely. And what's also interesting is that Los Angeles was founded and created by 44 African American families.
Get out of here.
That's history. Black folks settled Los Angeles.
Wow.
Black folks settled Chicago. There's a Haitian brother, Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Sable. And the Native Americans in that area called it Ed Chicago. And that's where the word Chicago comes from, Ed Chicago. That particular area was called Ed Chicago. And then out of that comes Chicago.
Almost like Chicago.
Well, that's where it came from. That's where Chicago came from. Chicago came from the word that Native Americans called it, Ed Chicago. You got history.
Wow. So, getting back to the Native of California, what did they do? Like, what did they build? Was it true, like, where they had some queens and they was, what's the story on that?
Well, the book by R.A. Umar S. Bay, Pyramids in America, he goes around the country and shows you where there are pyramids all around America and in Central and South America, all over this hemisphere. There are pyramids built by Africans and by the indigenous peoples of the land. And throughout this entire country, from Alaska to the tip of South America, a place called Tierra del Fuego, the land of fire, there are African peoples and there are civilizations that had cultured, intelligent, and technology-based people. They were spiritual, they had schools, they had ways of living long before the European came.
Wow. Wow.
And again, the books that I have cited are books that people really need to look at in order to understand that I'm not coming at you just spouting out this information. I've done the research for this, and I've studied the great minds like David Imhotep and Ivan Van Sertima, Clyde Winters, Beatrice Lumpkin, Wayne Chandler. These are geniuses that have written essays and books. And so it's important that we study hard, and teach our children and teach our community this information. To get them out the mindset that you slave. Being a slave is a mental condition.
Right.
There were people on the plantation who never were enslaved. They were prisoners held against their will. There are people walking the streets of New York right now, and they're enslaved because their mind is in chains. And once they free their African mind, they'll be able to achieve what they will. Because you'll understand how great you are.
Right.
And you'll know there's nothing you can't do. And nobody holds you back. I understand oppression. I understand it. And I understand what has happened to us. But I'm telling us, if you set your mind on success and accept nothing other than success, you will be successful. The only time you stop being successful is when you stop being successful. This is our history. We come from a strong and mighty people who have overcome obstacles, unbelievable obstacles.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
Peace, everybody. This is Brooklyn Magi. We here at the Brooklyn Magi Hour. And tonight.
That's right.
Because you ain't supposed to be here. The way they had it planned, we either be stark raving mad, dead, or back in Africa. Not sitting up here. November 16, 2015, having this kind of conversation about who we are as a people. That was not in the plan. But it wasn't our plan.
I agree 100%, brother.
Well, the evidence is that we're here, Brother Magi. We're here. That's the evidence that is true.
Yes, definitely.
Our indomitable, resilient spirit, man.
Yeah, it's hard to break us. We don't play that.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a powerful people. If we just understood and knew how powerful we were.
Right. Definitely. Getting back to the Olmec, What exactly, since the Olmec, you know, all recently became the Aztec and all these other different sects, why is it that, where did the black Mexicans go, or what happened? How come we don't see that anymore, any black Mexicans and any black, I guess, I don't know, South America? Because on TV they don't show black Mexicans. In Mexico they got black Mexicans. I don't know, because I never been to Mexico, but, you know, where did all the black Mexicans go?
Oh, you know, when I was in Mexico, we went to a city in Mexico called Cuajinicualapa. That was a black community.
Wow.
And the mayor of the city was a sister.
Wow.
A beautiful.
What's the name of it?
African sister. Cuajinicualapa.
Okay.
And that's spelled with a C-U-A, Qua, Quahini. C-U-A, Qua, Hini, H-I-N-I, C-U-A, Qua, L-A-P-A, Quahini, Qualapa.
Okay, I'm gonna definitely check it out.
And that wasn't the only, there was other African cities there.
For real? Wow.
You know, oh yeah, you know, the resorts that are in Mexico. When you go up into the mountain, you see black people.
Mm.
Now, what may change the complexion is the fact that so many people from Europe, Spaniards in particular, went there.
Right.
And also in South America. Because even when you look at the Pope, you know, Pope Francis, although he's from Argentina, he's Italian.
Right. That's true. That's true. So he,
you know, his families were escaping fascist Italy.
Yeah.
And they moved to Argentina. There are a lot of Italians in Argentina.
Right.
There are a lot of Germans in South America.
Yeah, after World War II, a lot of them went there.
Yeah, and also ones who were escaping Nazi Germany.
Yeah. Wow.
So, the changing of the complexion comes from migrations of people from Europe.
Mm.
Caribbean, same way. 70% of Cuba is black.
Right.
Even Fidel Castro a family that's black.
Right. Wow.
Because Colombia.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Colombia, Ecuador, Bolivia, Paraguay, Uruguay, Chile, Peru, black people, all up in there.
Wow.
They just don't put that in the pictures.
Yeah, that's why, you know, people who didn't travel or don't travel a lot wouldn't know these things, you know?
Because they
don't promote these on television like that, you know?
That's right. And I don't blame them. If I were them, I wouldn't either. You know, why am I going to help you stop me from oppressing you?
Right.
Why, you know, why would I think you'd want to do that? Mm. I have to be out of my mind. I expect you to do that. Just like you should expect me to do what I do.
Yep. Wow.
Dave, you there?
Yes, I am. Just trying to bring it back.
Just trying to bring it back. I had a little technical difficulty, everyone. Just hold on 1 second. We'll bring it right back. Just went out on me. That's what happened here. Okay. Hey, Scotty, stop at the 37... minute. Any way that you can continue to run it while I try to get this thing back, whatever happens?
At 37? Wait a minute.
Yeah, at minute 37.
I got the wrong one. Hold up.
Sorry, everyone. Beautiful, beautiful information. We're definitely going to talk about this.
You said 37?
Yeah, minute 37.
That was a very, very, very special guest.
From my mind. I expect you to do that. Just like you should expect me to do what I do.
Yep. Wow. Wow. It's amazing. I definitely gotta get some of them books you recommended. I'm going to put some links for everybody who's listening. I'll put links in the description. So you have to get these books too, because some powerful information right here.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to reach out, you can email me at kamene777@aol.com. kamene777@aol.com. And I'd be happy to send you my study guide that takes you into this material a little bit further.
Right. Definitely. Email me it too. I'll check it out myself. Definitely. I have to check it out myself.
No doubt. It's all there, brother. It's all there. And like I say, you know, because I write curriculum, I lay it out in a way that people can study.
Right.
And you can understand the material because it's coming at you in a friendly way.
Yeah.
Not overwhelming.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah, we got like 10 more minutes left. Let me see, I had a couple questions here from a couple of people. I guess it was personal. They said, what inspired you to do this in the first place? Like, what sparked that light in you?
Well, you know, like so many people, I am no different from so many other people who growing up and studying history and looking at television, I didn't see myself. And I was wondering where I fit in all this. I grew up in a family. My name was Booker Taliaferro Coleman Jr. My father was senior. My father was from Tuskegee, Alabama, with family in Marion, Alabama. So I grew up in a very culturally conscious house. My neighbors, who were from Puerto Rico, practiced Santeria. So I was exposed to Africa through my neighbors from Puerto Rico.
Right.
And so I have always been grounded in culture. Always. Wow. I cannot remember a time that I was not grounded in my culture. So that it's absolutely beautiful. And then, of course, when I was 12 and a half, I had the distinct honor of meeting Professor John Henry Clark.
Wow. How did that happen?
Yes, I met Dr. Clark when I was 12 and a half. I grew up in the Amsterdam Project, Amsterdam Houses, between 61st and 64th Street.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that's where I grew up. I grew up on 63rd Street.
Okay.
217 West 63rd Street. And we had old heads. We call them old heads, which were the older brothers and sisters that would look out for us, the younger brothers and sisters. Their parents knew my parents, and, you know, they looked out. And they took us. They used to put us in the summertime. They would put us on their handlebars. And they would drive, you know, they would take their bikes and they would take us different places. And so one of these days, it was in the end of June, because I remember I was preparing to go to a day camp, summer camp. So I know it was at the end of June. And I was in the seventh grade going into the eighth grade. And one of the visits, one of the times they took us up to Harlem. And Dr. Clark was speaking. And at the end of his presentation, they brought us up to meet him. We were sitting right at his feet, to tell you the truth. All of the young people. And at the end, when they introduced me to him, he said, "Oh, Booker T, you're going to be a great teacher one day." And that started a relationship. I mean, I wouldn't say I was with him all the time, but as I got older, I was around him more often, so that by the time I got out of the military and going into college, I had a pretty good relationship with him.
Right.
And again, one of my great advantages. And then, of course, being around Dr. John Henry Clark, you're exposed to people like Chancellor Williams and Dr. Ben and a young Dr. Leonard Jeffries, a young Dr. Rosalind Jeffries. So you're exposed to Dr. John G. Jackson because you're around Dr. Clark, and Dr. Clark and them were around each other. And so I had the opportunity to be around them and to learn from them and develop. And then, of course, I was encouraged to become a teacher. My mother encouraged me to become a teacher, and Dr. Clark encouraged me also. And so that brought me into early childhood. I'm an early childhood licensed teacher, kindergarten. I'm a kindergarten teacher. So you can imagine what it's like for this black man to be around 5-year-olds.
Right.
You know, and that's why I'm on a crusade. I'm trying to get our people, particularly brothers, to become teachers.
Right.
And particularly younger grades, because a lot of times men tend to want to be in the upper grades. But like I say often, you'd be surprised as a kindergarten teacher with 5-year-olds, I could write a book on how many students said to me, I wish you were my daddy, or can I call you daddy? You look like my daddy. To which all I said, I am your dad. And you'd be surprised at the impact that you have on children. They'll remember you years from the time you teach them. They're in their 30s and 40s, and you'll see them in the street, as I've had experiences where they will come up to you and say, I remember you when you were my teacher. I remember you taught me Kiswahili. I remember when you were teaching me hieroglyphs and Meduneta in class. I remember when you were telling me about Africa.
Right.
And we need to become our own teachers now. So we need to do this. And I work with teachers that are interested in doing this, working with homeschoolers. I'm live doing this now. This is my life. So along with teaching college, I retired from the New York City Board of Ed in July of 2009, but I've been teaching college since 2004. So I just sidestepped into college, still teaching, never stopped, and I do consultant work.
Right. Wow. It's a great story, my brother. I got a couple of more questions. Well, we get out of here. Next question. Someone said, they said, about, well, the topic was the old man, but this is a question someone typed in and gave me about, the Africans in Asia. Did they have are they the ones to build the cultures of, Cambodia and India and places like that?
Absolutely. And in fact, if you look Star Over Asia by Ronoko Rashidi, and if you look at The African Presence in Early Asia, edited by Dr. Van Sertima and Ronoko Rashidi, you'll see that they are the ones that built the civilizations throughout Southern Asia. They are the builders of Harappa and Mohenjo-Daro in India, in Afghanistan, Pakistan. You go into southern China. Japanese were created when Kushites, Ethiopians, brought South Koreans onto the island of Japan. They met a short-statured African people known as the Ainu. The first peoples of Japan were short-statured black people. The same people that would people America, people Japan. In the Philippines, you have the Negritos, who are short-statured African. In Cambodia, Vietnam, you have the Champa people and the Montagnard. These are black folk. The original people are black people. In fact, the only people on the planet are black people. And everybody else is either dark black or light black.
Wow.
There's only one race on the planet, and that's the human race.
Right.
Plants were meant to be green. Humans were born to be black. And when you move away from the sun, you depigment yourself. Plants become albinoid plants, and humans become albinoid humans. That's science. That's not that's not personal.
Right.
I'm facking, I ain't cracking.
Amazing. Okay, we got one more question. Yeah. Oh.
Right. What, this person asked, why is it no one speaks on the other, why is it black people don't speak on the other cultures in Africa besides Egypt?
That's a very good question. And that's something that Dr. Clark used to always tell us, is that, you know, Egypt has its place. But when Egypt was great, when they were building pyramids, Africans were building structures in what we today call Ghana, in dark kitchens. Africans were building civilizations in Nok, which is in Nigeria, the Kanem-Borno of West Africa, the Benin. You can go to the Congo, to Central Africa, to the Luongo people, who had great civilizations. You can go to Southern Africa, to the Monomotapa Empire. You can go throughout Africa. And that's another challenge. We have got to understand that all of Africa was great. You had universities throughout Africa. And so it is very important that we don't get caught up in Egypt. Egypt is exotic because it has pyramids, it has temples. Kush, or what we call Nubia, what today is Sudan, has more pyramids than any other place in the world. They have over 200 pyramids in Kush. You can go to Chad. Throughout Africa, all of Africa was a great civilization. So it's very important that we understand this and that we keep talking to people about this so we don't get caught up in any one part of Africa. All of Africa was great.
Right.
And that's not to say that Africa didn't have its challenges and its problems. It had its saints and it had its sinners. It had its warfare. It had its diseases and pestilence. But the base of the civilization was spiritual. So the people, when they went the wrong way, they could always find their way back because they were always within a spiritual realm. Well, we're living in a civilization now who know not the Creator. So they don't know their way back home.
Wow.
And I'm speaking about Western civilization.
Wow, brother. Well, it was some great, great, great information you presented to us today. And oh man, I don't know what to say. Man, I'm speechless. I got a lot of reading and stuff to do after this one.
Hey. No doubt, brother. We all do. We all do, brother. I still got a great amount of work to do.
Right, right.
Tonight I just made copies of an essay coming out of Egypt Revisited on the Old Kingdom by Wayne Chandler. I got to read up on the Old Kingdom. So it's important, brother, that we keep reading, myself included. The more I learn, how much more I have to learn. For every question I answer, 7 more questions appear.
Right.
This is a journey, brother. It has no destination.
Definitely, brother. Well, thanks for coming out tonight and presenting this information with us. Hang on the line there for me. Hang on the line for a second, brother. All right, thanks for watching, y'all. It's Brooklyn Magi and brother Booker T. Coleman. Give them your information one more time, brother Coleman.
You can reach out to me at kamene777@aol.com. I'll send you my study guide.
Brother Dave, you want to take over?
Yeah, I'll take over. Yeah, definitely. Okay, everyone, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're definitely going to jump into the conversation of what we just heard. So, so important. And it's so, so true. You know, it was so much that, Brother Coleman had talked about, and it's so relevant. I would say, just like you said, you know, the more you study, the more you learn, the more you realize how much you don't know. And it's so important that we continue to improve upon and to continue to establish a legacy that's so, so vitally important to the whole world. The whole world is black, and that was the reason why we wanted to bring you this here on Tando Radio Show. We're definitely going to reach out to Brother Coleman and see if he would come on Tando Radio Show for you to ask direct questions and to hear more of this edifying and this more of this very, very important in this appetite so that we can be fully nourished on who we really are, because it's so important that we understand the legacy that we have a responsibility to. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to take some of your calls, and you can make your comments or have any questions. We'd love to hear from you, and let's talk about what it is that we've learned, and why is it so relevant, and why is it so important. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick momentary break.
The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Okay, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. And this video, I actually posted it inside of Tando Radio, inside of Tando Radio Show on Facebook. The video that you heard today is posted there. If you would like to, you know, go back and hear it again, which I suggest that you do, it's there, and you can definitely get it from there. Now, there's a lot of important things that was said, and I would love to hear from you. What was your take on what you heard? And I know a lot of people, this isn't new, but every time that you're actually introduced to something, you learn so much more each time that you hear about the story. And it's so, so important, because there were so many things that were touched upon that have real relevance and real meaning now that we need to discuss ourselves. So if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032-POUND, and hit *61. I will see you in queue. We have a couple of callers that are in queue now. So
one of them dropped.
To them, I just want to say
One of them dropped off. If you want to call back in, please call back in. Every question, every comment should be taken into consideration. Because I sure was taking notes, and I hope he does come back on the program, come on your program, because I have some questions, but I'll reserve my comments till after you take this other caller.
Sure, definitely. Well, you know, it's so important that, I want to say this before we take the caller, it's so important that we realize that our contribution to this world has been much more than what has been reported on by the fraudulent history. William Churchill said it so well when he said, history will be kind to England because England will write it. It's the writers of the history that are the ones that portray the legacy. But the most significant portrayal of the legacy, and Brother Coleman pointed this out, and I would just say it this way, the first shame and the first blame of enslavement is not only subjugated or exclusive to the oppressor. It's actually also a part of and the responsibility and the cause and the birthing and the movement of the individual that accepted the enslavement. Just think of it this way. If you go to a tiger in India, a wild tiger in India, if you go to a wild lion in the Sahara, if you go to a silverback in the Congo with a leash in your hand and you go to capture them, what response do you think that you will have from them? They will thoroughly, thoroughly defend themselves. Enslavement does not start when the chains go on. It starts when the mind concedes and surrenders. And this is why we have to change what we surrender to. No longer should we surrender to the bonds of enslavement. Until we realize that we are not enslaved, that we are free, then we will never know what sovereignty is or how to act as free in self-determining. So it's so important that we realize that it's our responsibility. The blame and shame starts with us because we write the history now. The legacy owes us giving more to it than what we've been told, the lies that we've been told. And it's so important that we don't live the lies and we don't become what we've had to endure. So let's go through some of our callers because we're stacking up here. Let's get to them real quick, and we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to have a question or comment, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 5490-32#, and hit star 61. Welcome, caller, to Sando Radio Show. What is your name? Where are you calling from? And what is your question or comment?
Hey, Brother Davis. This is Brother Davis, man.
Brother Davis,
hey, listen.
What's going on, Brother Davis? Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I'm very familiar with Brother Booker T. Coleman's work. This is literally the path that I was trying to slowly expose. But since you did it in such a dynamic way, I would really like people to encourage you. Literally, check the show out tomorrow night. Because tomorrow night, we're going to talk about self and how we fit into the massive puzzle that I'm quite sure you're sitting back saying to yourself, we were all of this, we were all of that, and more. But until you understand where you stand as self, you won't see how easily you fit into the picture. But understand, he was only talking about your ancestors. So there's a place for you. And that's really what the show is about tomorrow night. But listen, I'm in the middle of two things right now.
Definitely going to have that show tomorrow. So need it.
I'm looking forward to it. And please, brothers and sisters, if you just a little bit of discerning about all the information you got tonight, there's a book out called First Americans Were African. And the book goes into detail about how the Africans literally encompass the world through trade and not through conquering. And I want you to understand how I said that, because there was a foundation called Ma'at that they lived by, which encompass 42 different principles. I don't want to go into all of that tomorrow night. First, I got to get you to understand self, the position of it, and how you neglect it through the Westernisms that have been placed upon you. So from tonight's show, with what you have received tonight and what I can add to you tomorrow night, you're going to begin to see yourself and how you fit into this picture beyond all of the illusions and the deception of Westernism. Listen, brothers, be blessed, and I'll definitely have my ear in the air tomorrow night, and I'll be fired on all cylinders. So I'm looking forward to a great show, Dave. And listen, I'd like to stay a little longer, but I must step out. Peace.
All right, Brother Dave. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Much love, much respect. Let's go to our next caller. That's in too, Brother Dave. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What is your name? Where are you calling from? What is your question or comment?
Hey, peace. What's up, man? It's Brian, man.
You know
I'm right in tune with that. I said that. I was like, yeah, all right. That's what I'm talking about. He went right through it, though, man. Those Moors running right through the Aztecs. Wow, there's so many Indians, man. Look, the federations over here. It was black federations of black people all over America were here before Columbus ever set sail here, ever heard of the place. The whole thing with me on that is, you know, I studied the Moors, and when I found out our downfall, the Moors trying to deal with the Europeans, got taken in and ended up getting us enslaved, all of us. And I hate to say that out loud, man, but that's my studies, man. It broke my heart, man, because I still, the Moors, you can't take nothing from them, brothers, man. They're some bad brothers. Some of the downfalls or pitfalls are the pitfalls with people just like today. for one thing,
exactly,
in a religious climate, they got to arguing about things in their religion. Then they got to arguing about women. So women end up being the downfall of the Moors, assimilating too many white women. They lost their mind. They lost their focus. But that's a whole nother thing. I want everybody to do their own research so they can, you know, follow. I don't want nobody to follow my word, because that's just what I perceive from my perception of my studies. Everybody do their own research, and we can sit at the table and have a round robin. Now, he was talking about Mahat. I was just reading something about Mahat the other day. Mahat married to Thoth, which is writing, articulation. Man, every netter, god and a goddess, sacred, holy. Each guy got a goddess. So you can't produce nothing without a goddess. You need a male and a female principle. You got to have both of those principles. Both of those principles equal balance when they're together. They should. Sometimes they might fall out of balance, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, and in order to have sustainability, you must have you must have the two. It's so, so important. And Brother Bragg, yes, we're going to bring that also, because we need to talk about those issues, and because some of the historical events and some of the decisions in history, they replay themselves, and we have to know these things so that we can course a better path than the one that was set in the past, in the deception of the past, so we don't fall victim to it. And I hate to say right now, especially from some of the psychological positions that we're in, we've fallen for the lie, and now it's time for us to arise and to be reborn into our new self.
Totally miseducated on purpose, Dave. You can't make no bones about it. Totally miseducated on purpose. We are so much more than a slave. And that's what I've been telling people my whole life. I always knew it in my heart. But the thing is, when they start this historical stuff, they start with this pilgrim, which pilgrim is just a stranger in somebody else's land, then we get everything misconstrued right now when they start screaming out American. The farthest thing from a person's mind when they say American is somebody that look like you and me. Brother, we the first American. And I've been trying to tell people, man, listen, you standing on your land. I've been telling people that my whole life. We standing on our own land. Oh, check this. Why don't they kick us out of the country if this is not our land? You know what I'm saying? They don't want us here. If they could, you see what I'm saying? If this wasn't our land, they'd have put us out. But where are they going to send us? It ain't no land they could take because we own our own land.
That's it. You know, the whole world is Africa. This is why it's so important. You know, I talked about this before. Whenever you get on a plane, you look out the window, you don't see demarcation lines that are on a map or a piece of paper, because that is something that's drawn up through the fraud of man. You just see what the great creator God Almighty has made, and that is Terra, the earth itself. And the original people of the earth are known as Terri. That would be you and I. The black people of the world, the parents of this world. So it's so important, Brother Bragg, and we're going to bring it to you because there's a lot of information that you have that we need to introduce our listeners to, because it's enlightening, and it sets the course for our legacy to be rebuilt and for our prosperity that was lost to be regained in a very affluent and bountiful way. So, Brother Bragg, much, much love, much respect. We got a show coming up with you, and but give me a call after the show tonight too, brother, if you got a fancy conversation we had earlier today.
All right, that'll work, man. That'll work. Peace.
Peace, brother. Okay, we got another caller in queue. Let's go to this caller. Welcome, caller, to the Tando Radio Show. What is your name? Where you're calling from? What is your question or comment?
Okay, how you doing, brother? This is Mel.
Mel, what's going on, brother? How you feeling?
Just enjoying the show, man. Hope everything is well with you.
Yes, everything is very well. What's going on, bro?
Brother Bragg and Brother Davis was ready to go in, boy. Like, if we had three more hours, well, I'd have stayed tuned in. They was ready.
Without a doubt. But, you know, Brother Bragg and Brother Davis, we're going to have Brother Davis on tomorrow, and then Brother Bragg's on, I believe, Friday, depending on Brother Bragg. Schedule, and it's some great information that's being brought to us, and you know, it's so important that we share this. But I know there's a question or comment that you have, brother. What is it that you what did you think of Brother Carl Coleman presentation.
Well, yeah, I'm familiar with him and his work, but
yeah.
I just wanted to just real quickly say, you know, history. You have to study history, right? History, history.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when I see the, you know, the people, the non-white people in Egypt and everything is a mystery. It's a mystery. Like, you know, we don't know how they did this. It's a mystery. But that's because they're trying to teach us history. History is his story. Mystery is my
right.
story. So, I mean, that's the only thing I really wanted to say. I don't need to learn
no,
history.
No, no, because that is so true. And the thing about, and I think I said in the very beginning of the show, you know, history is not something that you could take a class for. It has to be something that you live, because it's the building block of legacy. And this is why it's so important for you to realize the truth and be able to discern the lies. Because let me tell you something. If we start to get back to our true selves and start to resonate within our harmonic frequencies, we will be able to distinguish and be discerned from the truth and the lie. Because a lie has a low frequency. The truth always stands on its own. Only a coward lays down to the truth out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so history has to be established by you living it. You take your ancestral cultural teachings and you continue to practice them and develop them and nurture them so that they will be strong, and you can pass them on as the true heirlooms of who you are with a legacy of your work behind it. It takes energy. It takes energy. History is not something that you take in class. Every single person here is a historian, but not all of us are good historians. Not all of us are great historians. Not all of us are marginal historians. But we need to move from where we are to move to a more perfect realm, into a more perfect being, and into a more perfect love. Because that's what it really is. And, you know, Brother Davis talked about how they were, you know, our people were traversing the whole globe by the sea, by the air. Yes, they were flying back in the day. There are plenty of books that have teachings, have writings on that and the evidence to back it up. You know, from the Dogons and everything else. We were not only commanding the different continents on this planet, but we were also in the interstellar spaces of the universe. We had intercontinental and stellar and celestial travel. We were traveling by ways of planes, by ways of energy movement, by ways of harmonic frequency and everything else. They just make us think that the civilization that we live in is really the advent of technology, when it isn't. It's totally in. And as you said, it's his story. What is your story going to be?
Exactly.
What is your story going to be? So, man, I truly, truly appreciate it, man. And it's so, so important that we continue to do this and we continue to learn and we continue to grow, because we have an obligation to the people that are in our family and the names that we know not yet and the names that have not even been called yet. We have an obligation to them. And together we can provide for a legacy and a heritage that can be based in truth, love, and equality.
That's right. So,
much, much love, brother.
Love you too, brother. Take care.
Okay. All right.
Q&A queue is cleared.
Okay. You know, and, you know, one of the things that was so important is that, you know, if you look at, that's why it's so important for us to travel. It's for people that travel. There's a lot of Americans don't travel for a lot of reasons. Because, you know, a lot of us have been told that this is the only place in the world that you really need to go and everything else. But I'm going to tell you, when you travel the world, one of the first things that you learn when you land or debark from the boat that you're traveling on, or however you're traversing the ways of the world, one of the first things that you learn is that the world is black. And everything in the fullness thereof.
You know, Brother
Davis. You learn that right away.
Certain Americans ought to be afraid to travel the globe, all the terrorism that they exporting all over the planet. So they should be afraid to travel. You know, if I look like certain people in this country, I would stay right here. I wouldn't go nowhere else because, you know, this government, this corporation is exporting so much. I mean, you talked about it at the beginning, the hundreds of millions of people they have killed all over the planet since just World War II. But here are some things. Now, this is what I like really about the brother. But before I forget, the last call that brought up, and it was been stressed by other people as well, the importance of knowing history. But here's the thing, though. I feel like the most important thing is to know your own recent story, all right? Not what happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Well, let me back up. Not 300, 400, five, a century ago. But a lot of people don't even know who their great-grandparents are. Or their great-great-great-grandparents are. And a lot of that is being hid from us. You mentioned the connection to the land. The reason that I got so interested in studying the local history around here is because I found out from my elders that we have always been on this land, on this very spot that I'm sitting on right now. We have been here for hundreds of years. Whether it was through our African ancestors, but again, everybody is out of Africa. You know what I'm saying? I think, though, how white people and Asians got here, based on the science, is that some of the people coming out of Africa made it with Neanderthals. Neanderthals are now extinct. Yep. Based on genetic science that they've been doing, that Neanderthal gene is found mostly in Caucasians and Asians. So that's where I think I think that's where most of these Caucasians and whatnot come from, is Africans mating with Neanderthals. All right. But it's so important to know your own history. Here in North Carolina, a couple of years ago, there was a story about they pulled out all of these property records, these property deeds out of this courthouse. I forget which county it was in. They burnt those records up. Why would they burn those records up, David?
Because they were deeds and they had the truth as to who owned the land that was there.
Exactly. That's why it's important to know who your grandparents are, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, your great-great-great, going all the way back. Digging into them census records. That's very important because they have stolen a lot of land. Duke Energy, y'all, you ever heard of Duke Energy? They used to be known as Duke.
Of course.
The Duke family.
Mm-hmm. Of course, heard of Duke Energy.
Corporation. Mm-hmm. They stole some of my own family's land. We're working and we're doing all the research to get it back. But they've stolen a lot of our land. This county has stolen a lot of our family land. So it's not only important to know going back to Africa, all the way back to Africa. It's important to know your immediate story. Because it's tied to land. And that's why they don't want you to know who you are. Now, this is the issue that I do have. Now, this is what I appreciate about the brother. He said, I have a lot more research to do. Every answer poses more questions. So he wasn't sitting up there acting like he knew it all. You know what I'm saying? He still has much more to learn. And that's how we all should be. And so we should be exchanging information and putting all of us got a piece to the puzzle. And we need to put those pieces together and through dialogue and whatnot. I don't like to debate people because debate is like an adversarial position. You know what I'm saying? I like what you say, Dave, about having dialogues. We're not always going to agree. And there were some things he said I didn't agree with. But I know he wasn't coming from, I know he wasn't coming from an adversarial position, or he wasn't purposely trying to deceive people. I just got a point of disagreement with him, as well as others who primarily focus on our connection to the land on this continent as being, you know, indigenous Americans ourselves. We used to have a program on Black Talk Radio Network called African Americans Ain't African. And they wanted to totally deny. The reason he's not on the network no more is because somebody stole his computer. and he then had trouble working with Windows computers or whatever equipment he had. He couldn't redo his program. He got frustrated and he just quit. So that's why he is not on the network anymore. And they were sharing a lot of information. But my issue with him was, is that, first of all, every human being on this planet, genetics traces back to Africa. To say African Americans ain't Africa, that doesn't even make scientific sense, because all of these DNA studies show where people come from, specific areas in Africa. And so his answer to that is that, well, all this DNA science is a fraud. All right, then I was like saying, okay, and like this brother has said, that we were never brought over here. This is what they said specifically. He kind of hinted to that, that Africans weren't brought over here in chains. That's a lie. I have studied this extensively.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Look, they're still finding slave ships. Excuse me. They're still finding ships that they brought enslaved Africans over here on the bottom of the ocean. There's undeniable evidence. There are banking records from insurance companies and insurance companies, banks. Wall Street was the first enslaved African trading bloc. And so I was like, why would they fake that evidence? That would be a tremendous fraud. Why would they even act fake like we brought Africans from over there and enslaved them here? Who would fake something like that? And what would be the purpose of faking something like that? Because that's the evidence that show they owe reparations to these people.
That's the exactly. And exactly. It shows that there's legal recourse that has to be, and compensation that has to be, and it has to, and shows that that legal recourse requires the settlement of the wrong. There has to be the righting of the wrong. And that can never, ever be denied at all.
Yeah, I mean, you would never hear a Jew denying their Holocaust. You'll never hear a Jew. I don't know. You might find a self-hating Jew that say the Holocaust was a fraud, that where, you know, 6 million, estimated 6 million Jews. You know, we can get into the real numbers or not. But they don't deny that happened to them. Okay? So why would we deny that happened to some of our people? Now, here's the thing I tell people.
Exactly.
Stop saying that just about every black person I hear talking, when they talk about slavery and whatnot and reparations, I'm like, first of all, you need to determine if you are really the descendant of an enslaved African, because we're not all enslaved.
We're not, right. Some of us were here. Exactly, Scotty.
Some of us was already here. And then there was others migrating here. And this is, again, is from me doing local research. Do the research where you are in America. You don't have to go all the way back to Africa. That's important if you can go back that far. But you need to go back to where you are now. And in doing the research on the local area, I found out that there were hundreds of free Africans who fought in the Revolutionary War, were sent here from the colony of North Carolina. They weren't enslaved. And so that's why I say, man, stop assuming that you are the descendant of an enslaved African. I'm not saying that to disparage the descendants of enslaved Africans. I'm saying that for the sake of truth and facts.
Right.
Don't claim you something that you're not. You don't know.
Right.
If you don't know, say you don't know. And if you don't know something, you better it's best you find out. And go ahead and do the research. And they are destroying records and stuff that show the land that we own. All right? And so that's my only beef, is with people who say that the enslaved African trade did not happen. You got countries in Africa right now that have preserved the ports where they were shipping off enslaved Africans. There are countries. I know a sister right now. She's back in the States right now. She's from Tennessee, but she moved to Ghana, because Ghana's one of them African countries that give reparations to African Americans. They don't even care if you were really enslaved or not, long as you had that status of African American. Well, we participated in the slave trade, Here's your reparations. They ain't the only African country.
No, they're not the only one in the country, in the continent. No, you're right.
And they're offering reparations. Why would they offer reparations for something that didn't exist? They didn't happen.
Exactly. And you know, Scotty, and you can also, just like you said, you can look at the shipping laws. You can look at the train laws. You can look at the GDP. There wasn't, the people that were here were not able to produce at the levels that this country was producing it. And the most important thing, you could look at the banking records that show all of these things.
Yes.
You know, you said the Duke family, Duke Energy had sold your land. In our family, it was the Reynolds family, the same Reynolds Rat family.
You talking about the cigarette paper people? You're talking about the tobacco company, right?
Yes, and the metal company. Then they went from enslaving people that they took the money from enslaving people to where they went into aluminum because aluminum was as valuable as gold back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that same family has stole from our family.
See what I'm saying?
It's so true what Scotty is saying, and we got to do a whole show on just that, Scotty. And this is the reason why I wanted to do this show, because of what you had talked about before in the past of you have to realize who you really are for the sake of truth. For truth's sake, the foundation of setting yourself up for any form of truth, you have to start with the beginning and then take it forward. And like you said, you have to live your history from right here. You got to know it for you in the last 2-3 generations. And I was just finding out this last summer so many things, and it was shocking what I found out. And I'll share it with you guys a little bit later. That's the end of the show. Hey, everyone. Oh, wait. We got a caller that's still there.
We don't have a program after you. If you want to take an extra 10, 15 minutes, because I still want to say some things because it's important. And I'm going to just be real quick. All right.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to chime in. You guys were mentioning the Neanderthal. You know, the Neanderthal relates to the Rh factor in the blood, which is the rhesus monkeys factor. Look, I read a whole lot of stuff. All I do is read. And they're saying that if you have this Rh factor in your blood, if you're a female, when you give birth, the body actually, the mother and the body of the female almost wants to get rid of the fetus. It's like, I've never heard anything like it before in my life.
It comes from that Neanderthal gene.
Yeah, that's right. And it's so strange, though. I have never heard anything like that before, that a fetus inside a mother's body would be fighting. They have a fight against each other, trying to destroy the fetus. It's the damnest thing I ever heard.
But a couple of quick points. Okay, I heard Neely Fuller say this, and it's so true. Now, he says it one way, and I ain't had a chance to ask him a question about it or whatnot. But then the other brother, and we've heard other of our great, African scholars, it is important to study history to know your greatness. But like Mr. Neely Fuller said, study your history to find out where you fucked up. Where did your people messed up? That's what Brother Brass was talking about, the Moors. Where they messed up at. So we cannot keep making these same mistakes over and over. Yes, it's important to know the great achievements that we have made historically, but it's also just as important to learn the mistakes as well. And that's what Neely Fuller said. He said, study history to see where you effed up at and got yourself in this current predicament. And that is so true to me. That's truth, man. Now, also,
that is very true.
The thing about enslaved minds, yes, there is mental slavery. Yes, there's mental slavery. We're slaves to many different things, but we do New Abolitionist Radio program on this station because we tell you physical slavery was never abolished. They still practicing it. This ain't mass incarceration. This is the continuation of slavery. And like you said, Brother Dave, and we just accept it. We accept it because they said, we passed this law criminalizing this substance or criminalizing that plant, and you can't have it. And if you have it, if you grow it, then you go to prison, to slavery. And all of us just accept that. We accept their authority.
You know what? Supposedly unjust laws are unenforceable. But you're right. If we don't
laws are unenforced,
comply right. to unjust laws, then that would be the case. But for some reason, whatever the law is, whether it's just or not, we follow it.
We accept it.
And as discerning minds, we're going to get out of that at some point. Right. We're going to have to break that mold.
And he said about black people.
Don't challenge him.
The question was asked about, you know, well, why isn't it black people in Mexico? I was stationed on the border of Mexico. I used to visit Mexico on the weekends. I saw black people. My cousin, one of my cousins, was stationed in Honduras. He came back with some pictures of some of the most beautiful black women I ever seen. You know what I'm saying? And yep. and I ain't talking yep. about like they were exotic or had different feet. They look like sisters from right here in America or sisters in Africa.
In the States, exactly.
Hey, that's the world tale right there. Every place that we go, you're going to find us, man. And they keep it, you know what, they put these other faces. When they advertise countries, they have these white faces. They have you thinking that the countries are white based when in reality, they're black countries. And whether it be Venezuela, countries like that, they put up these white people, but the other country is black people.
And
when you think about South America, for instance, most people think it's white. It's black people like you and me, African based people.
Queen Charlotte over there, Charlotte, North Carolina. Queen Charlotte.
Yes, that's right.
Black woman. Black
English,
woman.
English queen. They named Charlotte after her. That's right. That's right.
The last thing I want to share, and you do have one more call, Dave, and I'll
yeah,
be quiet.
Yeah, Scotty, you know what's good.
Here's one of the problems, you know, one of the things, I ain't going to say it's a problem, but a point of contention with the brother that he said. And it's some truth to it. But don't buy into it, because I hear this same thing coming from the religious community. Set your mind to be successful, okay? And if you believe you can succeed, then you will succeed. It's not that simple. It's not that simple. That's just like I hear these preachers be telling people, well, if you pray in Jesus' name and this, he'll heal all your calamities and all this and that. Well, or if you pray for a brand new car, you believe it with all your faith and you'll have a brand new car. And then if you don't get those things you prayed for, then right. you must have did something wrong. That's what it's saying. That if you didn't get mm-hmm. what you prayed for, you did something wrong. Look, like I told one of my family members, you may have prayed for a house, but didn't no house fall out the freaking sky from the heavens.
You had to put a down payment. You had to do an action with that.
Yeah,
action got to come with that prayer.
Exactly.
The movement got to come with that prayer.
You had to sow the seed of a down payment, and now you're still paying for the house. You got a house payment. So how, if God gave you something, then you wouldn't have payments. We got to think, people.
Right.
But that's all I wanted to share. And some of us don't have the same mental capacity.
Because that triggers so many things. And you know, I just want to touch on real quick, and then we're going to go to the caller. But let's go to the caller first, and then
okay.
I'm going to touch on what it is. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
I'm sorry. Scotty, you wild, bro. This is me again, man. And thank you, Scotty, for articulating. I couldn't articulate what I meant. As far as his story, I meant his version of the story. Versus mystery, which is my story, and there's a difference. That's all I wanted to say, brothers, and thank you, Scotty, for elaborating on that, man, and that's real. Thank you.
You're welcome, brother.
Yeah, there is a huge difference, And, you know, and the thing we talked about, when he talked about where we messed up, that is the most important thing. Let me say this. They give you a facade of life. They tell you that everyone has to be a winner. They do that because that is really a slave doctrine. Winning is a slave doctrine. Okay? You are fully equipped and you are fully tooled and you have all the necessities for you to achieve what it is that you want to achieve. You just have to give the energy to it. Nothing is given to you from a fairy tale, from a Hollywood script. But see, they keep that cushion on you because then they realize that you won't accomplish what it is that you can. You will actually, you know, we really practice so many forms of disillusion that causes us to fall into mental illness. One is, and how we do that and also is that we uphold enslavement within our communities and don't even know it. A tax, you paying taxes? is an exaction. It's a form of slavery, and we don't challenge these things. Why don't we challenge these things? Because what did they say? They came up with a propaganda slogan. The only thing that's guaranteed is death and taxes. Both of them are alive. There is no such thing as death, and there is no such thing as taxes unless you create the energy for it to live off of. And it's so true what these brothers are saying. You know, and the enslavement of everything, they write these laws to enslave. And I'm going to tell you something. That they've been doing this for a long, long time. The 13th Amendment originally came from the Northwest Ordinance of 1787. They've been pushing these things on us, and every time, just like today, a bunch of people, you know, were within our community was happy and felt a real connection with the celebrity figurehead that went up there and cried today. Let me tell you something. All actors cry on cue. All actors cry on cue.
It was shameful, man. That was shameful, man. It's the most shameful thing I ever saw.
Yep, it is. We need to realize, first and foremost, where we messed up. And let me tell you something. Before you can be a champion, you better master the art of losing. Looking back in history to see where you did wrong so that you can get better and change that direction. Because it's not always about winning. It's always about learning and giving. The process of learning is never complete until you give away what it is that you learn. So with these brothers, Brother Bragg, Brother Scotty, Mel, Brother Davis, and you know, had said, it's so, so true. Let me tell you, we were fully equipped to have everything that we need. And what we're crying for is some freedom from an enslaved society to the economy. Our real freedom has already been given to us. Our sovereignty has been given to us. We walked away from it. But now, there is things that you can do to change that, that is going to cause you to do work. And most of us, they push this agenda of enslavement so much, most of us want a slave, but we just don't want to be one. And that's what has to really, really, a part of many of the changes that we have to change. The first change needs to come within us. That seed first needs to be planted and nurtured by you. So, Brother Braggs, I know you had some things that you wanted to dutifully interject. Go ahead, brother.
And everything that's been said today is true, so true, man. But you got to remember the focus of everything, man. You're not supposed to know anything. All these things that we're finding out have been hidden in books. They put them in books for a reason. You're not supposed to be able to read, and you're not supposed to read. And as long as people live by that adage, you won't know. And the more you know, the more you need to know, because like my man said, everything that you learn, it's like 7 more questions that need to be answered. Sometimes you have somebody around, if you're fortunate, they answer, but a lot of times you have to get to digging and do the work if you want to know. If you want to know truthful, and that's all I got to say. Each one teach one. Keep
so
it moving.
You know, and we're going to end the show here, but you know, I love the saying, the question is more important than the answer, because the answer is temporal while the question is eternal. The more you ask questions, the more questions come, the more you grow. And that is so essential in the overall development of you. Many of us, you know, and I believe that many of us, we continue to make the same mistakes because we continue to be and expect the exact same thing. And so we have to change our overall direction. This is a great way. So that's the end of the show, everyone. I just want to thank you all. The board went out on me. I don't know, Scotty, do we have another caller that's there?
Let me check. No, that's everybody.
Well, now let me check. I'll check.
That's everybody.
Okay.
We got
everyone,
everybody.
I just want to thank you all for listening today. And for sure, continue to keep us in your well wishes, your thoughts, and send out the energy of life to us all, as we will definitely send it out to you. And remember, before you ask for a blessing, to be a blessing is never goodbye. It's always, I'll see you later. Until tomorrow, God willing, much love and much respect. Good night.
Peace.
Peace, Brother Bragg. Got it.
It's amazing how you love. Love is kind, love can give and give.